Zephaniah. Old Testament book. All right. So find Habakkuk and then we'll go one book over. Zephaniah. So there you go. All right. So dealing with the book of Zephaniah, his name means hidden. Hidden of or by the Lord. And so here he had a significant role, although he's a minor prophet relative to some of the other men who were prophets at the time. And so he is one of the men that were giving the southern kingdom, that's Judah, a last chance opportunity before the Lord would come back and destroy them. And so we can look here. With regard to him, we go back here to verse 1 once again. The word of the Lord, which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. And so here we have a handful of individuals that were being used by the Lord to help Josiah. So we can look at the theme here. And so here we have Josiah. Remember, he's a young man, took over at 8 years old, sought the Lord when he's 16 years old, wanted to bring about reform in the nation by the time he's 26 years old. And so here it's about 621 BC. This is somewhat before 586, when the southern kingdom fell to the Babylonians. So here we have his efforts here to bring about reform in the apostate southern kingdom. This is the where David reigned, Solomon reigned, and then the Judean kings reigned and so on. But he had helpers here. So we have Zephaniah 1. We have, of course, Jeremiah. We have Ezekiel and Daniel, and even Habakkuk. Habakkuk. All right. So the Lord used several of these prophets to help this king to maintain the reform and prepare the people for judgment and so on. And so we've talked about this. I've mentioned some of the others, but if you look back there, one book back to Habakkuk. So here we have Habakkuk in 1:1 and following. He was involved here as well, right about 609, we imagine his ministry was, 609. But notice in Habakkuk, we've got two questions, two answers. There in Habakkuk 1:3, he asked the question, "Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention." So he's talking about after the reforms of Josiah and how they're short-lived. Reforms are short-lived here. And the Lord says there in verse 5, "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." So what's the work he's going to work in Habakkuk's days, or the days of Josiah or his reign, or days of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel? Well, verse 6 tells us, "For though I raise up the Chaldeans were the Babylonians, all right, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land, possess the dwelling places that are not theirs." And he goes on and says, "I'm showing you the iniquity that's going to bring about this judgment, Habakkuk." So Josiah tried to bring reform, and before you know it, the reform came and it went. And so Jeremiah goes through the whole period here. In 605, this is when Daniel and Ezekiel, so 605, these two men are deported, and Ezekiel goes to the countryside by the Kebar River, and Daniel, he goes into the palace, so in 605, and then he prophesies great things there later on. And so here we have, see, this is Habakkuk. And then we've got Jeremiah. He stays in Jerusalem, prophesies before the fall, 586, is in the midst of the fall, and then he comes out on the other side of the fall of in 586 of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. And Zephaniah is the one who's ministering here as well. So here we have the Lord used at least five prophets to encourage Josiah and his work of reform, which didn't last long. And so what did Israel do with the prophets? They rejected the prophets. They rejected the truth and so on. And so what else could the Lord do but bring judgment on them? And so he did. So anyway, we're still in Habakkuk. So there in verse 3 of question number 1, why do you show me iniquity? Well, I'm going to bring judgment on the iniquity. And then in verse 12, chapter 1, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, O mighty God. Thou hast established them for correction. So he talks about the wicked ones there. And so the Habakkuk asks the questions. The Lord gives answers. The answer that the Lord gives in this, in verse 12 and following, is found in chapter 2. And here is this famous verse, verse 4, 2:4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but, so that's the proud Israelites, but the just shall live by his faith. So here is the statement. You trust me, and I'll take care of you. So first of all, there was the preaching, Lord, have the people repent. Jeremiah said that, amend your ways, and Lord, will hold off the judgment. They didn't amend their ways, and so judgment came. And then what are you going to do about we believers? Well, the just shall live by faith, so I'll take care of you. And in some of these cases, the Lord took care of, certainly Jeremiah took care of Ezekiel, got him out of the land. And he had to prophesy then to the exiles. And took care of Daniel, and Daniel became second command of their several kings. So the Lord took care of these men who had faith. So we see how this is all connected here. And so then we see the tail end of Habakkuk in verse 18. So you ever read this before? Habakkuk 3:18. Look around the wall. Let's see. Okay, Habakkuk 3:18. There we go. So, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. So, here's the testimony of Habakkuk. It's the testimony of others as well, that we're in a fallen world, judgment's coming. We are all sinners, but if we know the Lord, we're saved sinners, and he'll take care of saved sinners in the worst of times. So, here we see one of the worst of times in all human history, 586, Babylonia just utterly destroyed God's place, the land, the temple, everything, and yet the Lord took care of these men. So remember, the Bible gives us all of these extreme situations where the Lord intervenes for individuals in extreme situations so that we can be encouraged that my situation may not be as extreme as theirs, but the Lord is the Lord who's greater than any extreme situation. So we can find rest and encouragement in that. So anyway, here's some of the background of these prophets. So the Lord were using these. So you think of this. The Lord had had assignments for these men. All right, Jeremiah, you're staying in Jerusalem. Ezekiel, I'm getting you out, but you're going to go to the exiles. And Daniel, I'm going to send you to the palace with Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm got people appointed in certain areas in the world, for this matter. And this is the way the Lord works. So each one of these individuals had responsibility in their little geographical domain, just like we have a responsibility in our domain here. We're not the only church in the world. There are churches like ours all over the world. He raises up churches, he raises up pastors, he raises up men and women and church members who will be faithful to the Word of God. And so he has these all over the world. So it doesn't fall on us to try to be the church of the world. But it does fall on us to be the church in our geographical domain, to minister to people with the truth. And so that's what we have with Zephaniah. So Zephaniah now is the prophet. So he's the one who's warning that the day of the Lord is coming. So the great day of the Lord, that's what he says there in 1:14. So the day of the Lord for Josiah's realm, remember he died in 609, but the day of the Lord for this generation was 586 when the Babylonians came. Now that's not the ultimate day of the Lord, but that prefigures or preshadows the ultimate day of the Lord that's yet to come on the world. And so whenever the rapture occurs here and we're taken out, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about the day of the Lord and the tribulation and millennium. Day of the Lord refers to the Lord's day. So here's the day of Jehovah, literally. So the Lord, the day of Jehovah is when the Lord deals with his chosen people. Who's that? The Jews. And that he'll deal with his chosen people during the tribulation time and during the millennium. And all of this will focus around Jerusalem, by the way. The Battle of Armageddon during the tribulation will start up there in the mountains or the mountain plain of Megiddo there, but it'll come down to Jerusalem. And so there'll be a battle around Jerusalem. And then the millennium, 7 years or a few years later, where we are in the tribulation, the Lord will rule from Jerusalem. All right, so this is a picture of everything. Yes, sir?
So this is not pertaining exactly what you're saying, but so during Zephaniah's time, Josiah was the king?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir?
And that was around 602 or something like that?
Well, it's around the 620s when he... 620 or 21 is when he tried to make the reforms in Josiah's life. Zephaniah was the one who was contemporary with him. Yeah. All right, so so it's kind of a review that we're talking about here, but let's look here as we go through the tail end of chapter 1 there. So we have strong emphasis, verse 14, is 1:14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. And so notice all the times he talks about the day or the day of the Lord and the wrath and so on. Now, Paul picks this up. So this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice the language that he uses there. So this is significant. So we hold theologically to the idea that the rapture or the catching away of saints will occur before tribulation, before the day of the Lord. So we're pre-trib, or pre-trib in our eschatology. Why? Because that's what Paul was. That's what the Lord was. That's what the Bible teaches. That's why. And so here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see the passage 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. It's the catching up. We have a theological word for that called rapture. That's a Latin word for caught up. And then chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. So here he's going through a chronology. 4 follows 5, right? So remember your math. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I've got that down. So chapter 5 points out the next event, that's the day of the Lord. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So he begins to talk about this. And he describes the judgment and so on that will come on the world here. Notice he says there in verse 9, so 5:9, but God hath not appointed us. So who's us here? Well, Paul, Thessalonian church members, Christians. He's not, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. Well, what wrath is this? Well, in chapter 6, it'd be the wrath of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 6, wrath of the Lamb. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So those people who want to say that we will go through the tribulation or partway through the tribulation are absolutely wrong. They're heretics. There are a lot of them on the internet and so on. And so stay away from internet theology, YouTube theology. Don't leave church and say, okay, I'm going to check some other people out, see how the pastor stands with them, because, I mean, who can we trust in this world? I mean, who can we possibly trust? Anyway, so we're back here. So the day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord is prefigured in these earlier occasions, but there's coming the ultimate day of the Lord. Now, this theology is found here, for instance, in 1 John. So if you look there in 1 John, notice what John says here in 1 John 2:18. 1 John 2:18. So here is the principle, and the principle is literally to be understood. 1 John 2:18 says, where John's saying to a local church here, he's the pastor of the church, he's saying to this local church, little children, it is the last time, and as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, so that's the future coming of the Antichrist, singular. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know there's a last time. So from the first century forward, there have been many Antichrists, small a. But there's coming the ultimate Antichrist, capital A. So prophecy is prefigured in many, M-I-N-I ways, many ways, in the day of the Lord, situations, the Antichrist, so on and so forth. So we have the perspective of eschatology found in that verse. So Paul was saying, or John was saying in his own day, so he's in the first century. So John lived through the first century. And so he might have been writing this around the same time he wrote Revelation. Maybe that was in the 80s or 90s, maybe the middle 90s when he wrote this. So that'd be the end of the first century. And he's indicating, in my lifetime, this is John speaking, my lifetime since the time of the cross, and I'm probably the oldest apostle at this point, there have been many, many, many antichrists that we've seen in this one generation. However, there is coming the ultimate antichrist, and he had the expectation in his lifetime. All right, follow that, so we compress everything. But now, in human history, everything that's been compressed theologically now is spreading out here. So this doesn't undermine what John or Paul believed, because Paul thought he would be taken away in the rapture, but he wasn't. But now we're 2,000 years out, and we still understand for 2,000 years there's been Antichrist. And there's still coming an Antichrist. So we have this perspective. So when we look here at Zephaniah, he says the day of the Lord is near. Their particular day of the Lord. See, so as we would understand the ultimate tribulation, there has to first of all be the cross. And the cross wasn't anywhere near this time. Follow that? And the destruction of the temple. That wasn't anywhere near this time in the sense of the bigger picture. And certainly Peter's death was prophesied. So these events were far off, so these are precursors of the future day of the Lord. Yes, sir.
So, we're to understand that anyone who has entrusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is an Antichrist, in definition, correct?
Right, sure.
Yeah. The Antichrist he's talking about here are prominent figures or prefigured moments that he could see.
Right. They would be in doctrine and practice. So not only in practice, so anybody opposes Christ in salvation be Antichrist.
Right.
But they're not only personally, but also doctrinally, they're
Antichrist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Good question. All right. All right. So he gives this warning here. All right. Now, with all that in mind, let's look in chapter 2. So chapter 2, Zephaniah says, "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired." All right, so nation not desired in any way. And why wasn't the nation desired? I mean, these are chosen people. Why weren't they desired? Because they had idolatry everywhere, worshiping Baal and Astarte and so on. So who's gonna desire that nation? Well, not Jehovah, and not the prophets here. So gather yourselves together before the decree bring forth. All right. So he's saying before 586 comes along. Now he didn't use the term, but before that, the judgment comes. Before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Now notice, in our English and Hebrew, how many times is before mentioned there? Count them out. One, two, three times. Three times. So what's he saying? Before the decree. The Lord's decree, I'm going to use the Babylonians. Before the day pass. As chaff. Chaff is worthless. And before the fierce anger of the Lord, the day of the Lord's anger. All right, so before it's too late, you better do what the next verse says. The next verse says, seek ye the Lord. So you think of your own testimony. So you probably weren't saved at age of two, all right? So you were either a child or an adult when you got saved, but think... You got saved in time before the Lord took you. Think of that. Got saved in time. That's only by the God's grace, because he could have taken you earlier. But you didn't. He didn't. So so here's the message here. And, you know, you can think back, well, before I trusted the Lord, did I have any scary moments in my life where I thought I might be done, might be gone? You have any? I mean, some people did. And yet the Lord was gracious to you. Not because you deserve that. You deserve the tragedy. But the Lord intervened, gave you grace. But you think the world out there, the world out there thinks, oh, we've got a long time to live. But tomorrow there'll be several million people that'll go to hell. Think of that. And so here he's indicating to the nation, before I bring this on, what should you do? Seek the Lord. You need to seek the Lord. All ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So notice that. We've got seek. Seek and seek. So how many times for seek? Three times. How many times for before? Three times. All right, so we've got a strong message. Two or three witnesses, right? Two or three witnesses to truth. So here's the message that the world needs to, before the Lord's anger comes upon the world needs to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. And so there's an imminent message there. And I can remember one time when I was probably about 19, I think. driving my car, came up to an intersection, a green light just turned green, so I'm thinking, you know, the intersection, go through it. But I happened to look out of the corner of my eye, and I saw a car coming, and it was racing, and it came racing, and before I went into the intersection, it came racing right through the intersection, and finally, about 100 feet beyond the intersection, it screeched to a halt. Apparently, the brakes had failed. And I'm thinking, you know, I was in a little black Volkswagen Beetle, you know how secure those things are. I mean, I'd have been gone. I mean, he was rushing through that. Lord intervened, not because I deserved it, but because of his grace and mercy. So anyway, there's this ongoing message to seek the Lord, and we need to make sure that we've done that, because we don't know how much more time that we have here. So notice, this is not the first time it's mentioned. Let's look at several passages back here in Deuteronomy, for instance. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Ongoing message here, Deuteronomy chapter 4. 4:29, here scripture says, "But if from thence you shall seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul." All right, so there's the message. Seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. Better seek him. 4:29, Deuteronomy 4:29. Seek the Lord, and he shall be found. Thou shalt find him. All right, so we have encouragement like that. Notice in Psalm 34:10. So point of all this is, throughout the Old Testament, we've got these pleas. Psalm 34:10 says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Look at that. Seek the Lord, shall not want any good thing. The Lord brings blessings upon the believer. Want any good thing. All right, so we have the psalmist here. David says this. Then let's look at 28:5 of Proverbs. 28:5, Proverbs. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28:5. "Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things." Think of that. Understand all things. You see, with the Lord, having salvation in the Lord, you're illuminated. And once you're illuminated, you have the teacher of Scripture living within, the Lord. You can start to understand all things from the Bible's point of view. So you want to understand all things spiritually, scripturally? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. And then even in the New Testament, Acts chapter 17. Here Paul is talking to the Athenians there. He's talking to the unsaved Gentile Athenians. It says 17:27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply, so that's by chance, or not by happening, let's put it that way. By happening, this doesn't mean rejoicing. Different spelling. It's not happily, it's haply, all right? One P rather than two, all right, got that? If by happening, you might say, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So he's talking to the Gentiles. So the Lord has made it very clear in Romans chapter 1 that general revelation is available to point people to the fact that there is a God that exists. And then once you find out there's a God that exists, I better know him personally. How do I do that? Well, that's through special revelation or the Word of God. And so Paul is laying this out. And so he's speaking to the Gentiles. So in the Old Testament, there were Gentiles who were saved. There were Gentiles who were saved. And let's see, we can think of, how about one group here? How about the Ninevites? Were they Gentiles? Did they seek the Lord? By the way, did they repent and believe? Yes, repent and believe. We have that repentance and faith in the Old Testament. So we have the message here. Seek the Lord. So Lord wants all mankind to seek Him and be saved. And seek righteousness. So the righteousness flows out of a new birth. All ye meek of the earth. So notice that's the starting point. I need the Savior. Meek people need the Savior. Proud people don't. Seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. So we're all condemned for His judgment, and we'll only escape that if we seek Him. And righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So we who have sought the Lord in this dispensation are going to be hid. Zephaniah, by the way, he likes that word hid because that's what his name means, hidden by the Lord. Right? Remember that? So he's probably hidden by the Lord. Back in Manasseh, Ahab's day. But hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So we who know the Lord are going to be hid in Christ. We're hid in Christ from the tribulation that's going to come on the world at any moment. Could be this week. So we'll be hid in Him. We're hid in Christ. So see all the theology that's here. But that was true back in the Old Testament as well, all the way through Deuteronomy under Moses' reign and day, and all the way through David and Solomon, all the way down to Paul. So Jew, Gentile, all through the Bible we have the message of seek the Lord. So this is the responsibility, because the day of the Lord is going to come upon the unsaved at some point. And so... we need to be ready. All right, so here's his message now. Having given, so notice here in the Zephaniah's flow of the book, chapter 1 is judgment is coming. Notice in 2:4, judgment is coming. Gaza, Philistines, Moabites, judgment is coming. But between chapter 1, judgment is coming, and 2:4, judgment is coming, what do we have? A message of salvation. So judgment is coming. Seek the Lord. Judgment is coming. So notice the Lord and His compassion. I'm bringing judgment on this world. I'm bringing judgment on all sinners who won't repent. But I have a message for you. You can avoid this by seeking the Lord, repenting, believing, salvation. All right, so that's what this world needs today, is realize that. It doesn't matter how golden the age may be coming. Lord could come in the golden age, right? So He's not... He's not beheld to any events in America, by the way. America doesn't show up in the Bible, do you know that? Well, the only place USA shows up is in the word Jerusalem, USA. Yeah. So check that out, Jerusalem, USA. Anyway, all right, I had to wake up the back row. All right, let's get back to this. So the judgment, verse 4. For Gaza shall be forsaken, Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday. Ekron shall be rooted up. So here are the five major cities, basically, of the Philistines over there on the coast. On the coast there. He goes on to say in verse 5, woe to the inhabitants of the sea coast. That's where... Palestine, or the, Palestine, that's the land of the Philistines, which is just that little segment on the coast. All right. the nation of the Kerethites. So Kerethites is a term that comes from the island of Crete. So the island of Crete. So the Philistines came from the island of Crete, island, and they sailed over to the western coast of the Promised Land and located there in Palestine. That's a little strip of land there. So they came from Crete. And so here we have background. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. So if you look back there, first reference to Philistia and so on, way back there in Genesis chapter 10, we have the nations coming together there. And the Hamites are in the Promised Land at that time. And apparently those who turned out to be Philistines went over to the island Crete, and then they came back. So that's kind of the history of the Philistines. All right, so anyway, but they're back now. They're going to be destroyed. So when the Babylonians went through the Promised Land, they hit every spot, the coast, by the Jordan, up north, down south, and Jerusalem. So they hit all the territories there. And so the Babylonians, so they won all this land. Remember, the Promised Land is the most precious piece of real estate in the ancient world, connected three continents. Everybody wanted that piece of land. And finally, Assyria won it, and they couldn't quite get it all. And then Babylonia got it all. And so we see in the movement of human history, the nations, and so on. But the Promised Land doesn't belong to the Gentiles. It doesn't belong to the Philistines. It doesn't. There is no such thing in God's plan as a two-state position in the Promised Land. So those who are pushing that are contrary to God's will. So, I mean, there's news today, news back in. So we're jumping all the way from Zephaniah to the first century, down here to 2025, and then we're back here and so on. So we have a big perspective. It's how we develop the mind of Christ, so we see things from the Lord's point of view, historically, politically, economically, and in every way. We have the mind of Christ to view everything and have a biblical understanding on the Lord's plan. So, notice a couple other verses. Verse 6, and the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks, and the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. So now he's talking about, he's jumping from tribulation to millennium all of a sudden. So what's going to happen in the millennium? The people of Judah, the people of Israel, are going to take over that little sliver of land called Palestine, where the Philistines live. And the remnant of the house of Judah, they shall feed thereupon, and the house of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening. For the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. So it jumps forward to the first captivity, all the way out there to the millennium. During the millennium, the Jews will have all the land back that belongs to them. The Lord will make sure of that. And if you read Ezekiel chapters 41, 42, right in there, you find out all the land slots given back to Israel during the millennium. Okay, well, we'll have to stop at this point. So our message for today for them is seek the Lord. Our Father, we pray that you bless us. Thank you for the time to open the Word of God. Pray that you'll help us to continue to develop the mind of Christ and understand these things for thy glory. We pray for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.